ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When I told my friends and my wife that John Safran was coming back on Conversations, they all said to me various versions of, what's he done now? Well, I'll tell you what he's done now. John Safran, Australian gonzo author and documentary maker, has spent a week or so in what he calls a writer's residency in a mansion in Los Angeles. And not just any mansion. It's a mansion that belongs to Kanye West. Kanye West, one of the biggest selling, most critically acclaimed hip-hop artists of all time. He's also a major figure in street fashion. He's become so wealthy and powerful, he's got people who can turn his slightest whims into reality. Sort of. At one point, Kanye West was worth something close to $2 billion. But then he made the transition from celebrity eccentric to seriously out there. John Safran became interested in Kanye West, who now calls himself Yee, when he saw a clip of him on the Alex Jones show, wearing a black eyeless balaclava, denying the Holocaust, and speaking in defense of Adolf Hitler as a human being. Kanye then said that black people like him can't be anti-Semitic because they're actually Jewish. And so John went to LA to ask Kanye, or Yee, what gives? And so he spent a week in one of Kanye's mansions, an abandoned mansion, that John entered uninvited. And John squatted in that weird blue empty house with no running water and a vulture in the roof, and hoped he would actually run into the man. This was a project that ticked quite a few boxes of John's personal obsessions: Nazis, hip-hop, book writing, and snooping. John's new book is called Squat, and I enjoyed it enormously. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, sir. I know you've always loved hip-hop. You talk about it all the time. But at what point did you start to take an interest in Yee, Kanye? We're just going to call him Kanye for the purpose of this because it seems, I don't know, less weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I was obsessed with the early incarnation of hip-hop. So he's like a quarter of a generation after I'd expanded my tastes and I wasn't obsessed with hip-hop as much as I was.
Because you're more of a
Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, Run DMC. But I was like aware of him, obviously, and a bit like the Beach Boys. If someone said, did you like the Beach Boys? I go, oh, yeah, I'm sure. And then they'd say, oh, do you know they did that song, God Only Knows? I go, oh, my God, that's a brilliant song. But I'm not emotionally invested in the Beach Boys. I didn't grow up or have this thing. So it was like the same with Kanye, where I thought, you know, when I heard his tunes, he's pretty cool or whatever, but I wasn't that emotionally invested up until, yeah, he comes out in support of Adolf Hitler.
As a human being.
Yeah, as a human being, and starts blaming the Jews for his woes. And so, yeah, then obviously my ears pricked up and I thought, this is a real story that needs to be pursued by me. One of the first things I looked into before I decided to write about this more comprehensively is he named on his Instagram account three Jewish bankers from Chase Morgan. He said, these are the ones who have screwed me over, these Jewish bankers. And I just did a little bit of research and I found out that none of the three Jewish bankers were Jewish. Like, two of them were Greek Orthodox Christians and the third one was something else. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is fun. Why is he projecting Jewishness onto non-Jewish people? And neo-Nazis generally don't like black people as well. So that whole tangle just made it more enticing to me to go and try to follow up on that.
He rechristened himself Yee because it's the second syllable of his name, and also because the word Yee is a lot in the King James Bible. Yep. Yee shall do this, Yee shall be considered that. And
yep.
Like I say, he went on the Alex Jones show, who's a pretty strange character
yep.
to begin with. But when you see Kanye West on that, he's got the eyeless balaclava on and gloves, and he's talking from under this. And he said, I just want to quote him here, he said, every human being has brought something of value, especially Hitler. Yeah. Now, it wasn't even Hitler. It was especially Hitler. I just want to make sure that's understood there. What happened to his relationship with Adidas, the sneaker company that he was closely intertwined with after he said that?
Yeah, I think he just pushed it too far in so much as these days you can't get away with that. And I don't think it was a particularly, oh, it's because he said it against Jewish people. I think if he would have said something similar against trans people or Muslims or whoever. But in the case of Adidas, there was the extra twisting of the knife into them because they're a German company. And if you're a German company, German mainstream brand, you can't have this. Or they felt they can't have this guy talking up Hitler because the founders of Adidas were associated with...
They had links with the Nazi Party.
Yeah. And I think he did get away with it being a troublemaker and saying these provocative things for a bit longer than other people just because it was like he's such a good artist. And he'd also been prodding black Americans at his fashion shows wearing T-shirts that say White Lives Matter and getting his models to wear White Lives Matter. So he got away with that, but I think that's because the white community was going, well, that's a black person talking to black people and we're not going to get involved in that. But as soon as he started prodding other people, that's when it went too far.
So you went to LA with your then-girlfriend Antoinette. Mm. What was the plan at that stage?
It was so loose that the book could have been about the music industry. In fact, like a week before I got on the plane, I was going, is this going to be about black Americans versus Jewish Americans and what Kanye said, using that as the kicking off point? Or is it going to be Kanye's blaming the Jews for his music career where he feels like he's been ripped off? And even though that's outrageous what he said, it is true that through the history from Michelangelo to Taylor Swift, you've had artists saying, I've been exploited by my benefactors. And I thought maybe the book was going to be that.
But you could have done that in Melbourne where you live. Why are you going to LA? What do you think you were going there for?
Oh, no, I have to go to LA. I have to leave the house. Yeah, it just would not be acceptable by my standards to do a book on Kanye West where I'm either in my apartment in Melbourne or even I'm just wandering around Melbourne. I have to get there and bumble around.
Were you hoping to find him somehow and talk to him?
Yeah, at the start I was, but it's a blessing because if I would have found him, I wouldn't have gone in the mansion. But I just think from my point of view, I just think it's better. I think like John Safran went squatting at Kanye West's mansion in Los Angeles.
It's more fun than John Safran upbraided him.
I'm sure it would have been, it just would have been a different book.
So you and Antoinette drove out to a place that was going to be known as the Donda Academy.
Yeah.
What was this place going to be?
He's got a lot of ideas that he then abandoned. So maybe you are like, oh, I'm going to build a shelf. And then you start building and then you just, oh, okay, fine. And then you just leave it. So he does that, but he's got all this money and he can be accommodated. And so he set up a school. It was an uncredited private school in this schoolhouse that was painted matte black in the middle of the woods in this place in Los Angeles called Simi Valley. You don't have to drive far in Los Angeles to be suddenly rural. The mansion I stayed in was in Calabasas. That's also with a forest behind it and everything.
So you went to this place, the Donda Academy. Yeah. How did you get onto the property?
I made my way over a collapsed fence. It was surrounded by,
Cyclone fencing, right.
Cyclone fencing that was 1.5 times as tall as me, and it had black all over it, so you couldn't see in and you couldn't grip onto it. But I just kept on walking and walking, and we got to a bit where the fence had collapsed, and so I climbed over that. And then, I got to see the matte black schoolhouse in the middle, in the clearing.
And what was inside the schoolhouse when you got in there?
I climbed through the window and then Antoinette, just as I fell in, she's going, the door's open. He could have just gone through the door. And it was hard to tell whether he'd fully set up a school there and now taken things out or whether he'd just set up a bit of a school in there and then lost interest and left. But it was definitely his place because there was a pile of, like, paintings, finger paintings drawn by kids and their names are written on it and had, like, Chicago and North, and that's the name of his and Kim Kardashian's kids. And the other reason I knew it was his, definitely, is because there was all these unopened utility bills.
Addressed to Kanye West?
Kanye West and the Donda Academy. And also private mail addressed to Kanye West, which I assume because of the penmanship, it must have been like fans who'd somehow found out this was where he had a school or whatever. But it was like dusty and there was like a little wheel of copper wire here, and then there was a bathroom, but it was grotty because it hadn't been cleaned in a while. Yeah, the whole place was like dusty, except there was this shiny new bike in one of the big rooms in the schoolhouse. And then next to it was a sheet of cardboard that said, "Ye, where are you? Ye, we're looking for you. Please ring this number."
And there was a number?
Yeah, there was a number. So I rang the number.
And who answered?
He was this guy. He must have been in his mid-20s maybe. And I had to talk to him for a couple of minutes because he couldn't understand my Australian accent. They had this story. Oh, he's with Ye at the moment. And there was just something wrong with the story. But I was excited still because it was like the adventure seems to be starting. So I ended up catching up with him.
Where are you meeting this guy?
At a diner.
Right.
And he'd brought along his friend, which he's claimed was his business partner. And his friend had only one eye and the other eye was sewn over. And
so you're meeting this guy who says he's a friend of Kanye West.
Yes.
He's got his business partner who has one eye sitting next to him.
Yeah.
And what story did he have to tell?
He fessed up and just said, yeah, like he didn't know Kanye. He just worked in retail, I think it was in Connecticut or whatever, and he's been obsessed with Kanye West for so long, and he just feels like they're almost like the same person. And he said God just came to him and whilst he was working in retail in Connecticut that he has to come to Los Angeles and find Kanye, because he was like, not only am I a fan, I feel like we're the same person almost. I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but it made
so in America, kind of makes sense.
And yeah. So he'd come over and he'd gone to the schoolhouse like I had, and then he'd squatted in there because he'd quit his job. He needed somewhere to stay. So he decided to squat in the schoolhouse.
And that was his bike
in
the house?
Yeah, that was his bike, and he'd ridden the sign and because he was still searching for Kanye. And he was like a big Christian. He kept on quoting scripture and he said, "Oh, I was in that schoolhouse for 20 days and 20 nights, but then Kanye's people," he says, "came and they threw him out." So that's the first thing that planted in my head, this whole thing of, oh, you can squat at an abandoned... The precedent has been set. I can tell any court in the land. I go, I refer to the precedent of the guy with the bicycle who squatted at the schoolhouse.
So what happened when you brought up Kanye West's anti-Semitic statements with this guy?
He was like, he was a bit... he didn't like it. And he was sort of going, oh, listen, all he said was that you should love everyone.
Right.
Which is just lame. Just own it, you know what I mean?
And what did he think of your Jewishness?
Yeah, he wanted me to accept Christ, and I really attract people who want to convert me. I don't know what it is about me, but I seem people... I guess I'm kind of open to it. Not open to the convert, but I'm actually interested, like where most people would go, oh, God, is he going to start talking about religion? And then kind of they divert the conversation to something else. I kind of want to know more.
Because you're interested in ideologues, I think,
yeah, yes,
you?
Yeah.
So then you and Antoinette went out to this other property, this other abandoned property of Kanye West's.
Yeah, well, we didn't know for sure it was abandoned, obviously.
Oh, of course. So you just knew it was one of his houses when you showed up there?
Yeah, and I didn't even know for sure it was one of his houses. But then we chatted to the neighbour across the road. He was an old white guy, and this is in a real rich part of the county of Los Angeles. It was like in a very quiet rural street. And one of the neighbours had, like, horse stables and stuff like that. Anyway, we went across the road and the dude, his neighbour across the road, who was this old white guy, and I said, oh, is it kind of fun living opposite Kanye? And he said, no, it's awful. And
why was it awful?
Because he'd have his Sunday service there at the mansion and cars would come in and just fill up the street and we couldn't even get out to go to our own church. And when they were rehearsing, like the windows were vibrating. But he said, having said that, we haven't seen Kanye there in months and months, so he's not there, according to the guy across the road. And he said, on top of that, he had these security guys, and at night one would drive out and another would replace him. And then the neighbour said, but even that wrapped up 2 weeks ago. And so I was like, oh, my God. So the mansion might be available. And so the thought was for me, like, I'd gone and done all these interviews and I'm going to use it as my writer's retreat. And because it just seems like I have to write the book. So what a good place to write the book about all this. Is there no place better than actually Kanye's mansion?
So how did you get into this place? Did you just do the same thing? You scoped the fence and found a bit of fence you could get through?
This was a bit trickier because there's like a big fence. You couldn't climb over it, and a big gate. There's this stream that goes down the whole street and it goes through Kanye's property. And then behind the stream, there's these woods. Fortunately for Snoopy Safran, on this property next to it, the fence just suddenly stopped and it was replaced by bushes, and the bushes started serving the purpose of keeping you out. But there was a gap and you could slide through that and then climb down the bank until you hit the stream, and there was a tree over the stream, and then you cross over the stream on the log, and then I'm eventually behind his mansion, and then I drop in on one of the patios in the mansion.
And when you went to open the door?
Yeah, it opened.
What do you make of that kind of serendipity? Because it's like, well,
that is God telling me I'm meant to be here.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it was just like he bought this property for a church and there was a mansion and a house attached to it, and like, why not? He's Kanye West. But according to Scuttlebutt, when he broke up with Kim Kardashian, he did use it as a bachelor pad. So he did live in there. And it's on the inside, it's all painted blue everywhere. It seemed like an artistic statement. It seemed to be saying something. And then next door to that was a house, and that wasn't painted blue on the inside, but there was his bed, or a bed was in there, and there was a note leading to where the toilet was where it says, "This is only for me."
Me being Kanye West?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it handwritten?
Yeah, handwritten. And so it was like, it was saying, oh, please clean up your poop. It was like one of those notes you find in an office, but it was like that. And then above the
Kanye
bed,
West wrote, please clean up your own poop.
Yeah, yeah. That kind
sign
of, yeah.
On his toilet?
Well, I can't prove it, but yes. And then above his bed, it was like, security team, do not lie down on this bed. This is for me. And they were like, no. Anyway, but I thought, well, he hasn't been here for months. So I did sleep in his bed.
You slept in his bed?
Yes.
Okay. Is this the property? Like, famously, he'd had all these strange and rather beautiful timbered bubble domes built for homeless people. Was this the property where he'd built those domes?
Yes, yes, yes. That was one of his projects, which he could argue he was trying to follow it through, but then the local council shut it down. He built these domes. I guess they look like giant beehives.
Why domes for the homeless?
I think one of his things was it reminded him of when he used to play with his Star Wars village toys as a kid, and they looked like the...
Oh, is this like the planet Tatooine, is it?
I think
so. In Star Wars, because they were domed houses in that. So he's building like a Tatooine for the homeless.
Yeah, he wanted... It was his kind of idea of how he could help the homeless, which is kind of a nice thing.
It's a nice thing, yeah.
But his neighbours were not impressed, and they said, it's just not the area for this. And like a lot of things, there was just two ways of looking at it. Like, either Kanye's obnoxious and thinks he can just not have to follow the rules that everyone else has to follow, and it is a danger, like it's a bush fire area. And like one of the neighbours was going, oh, they were at their tools, and you could see the sparks going everywhere as they were building these domes, and it was like...
Yeah, but there's that, and that meets the neighbours going, we don't want that type of person around here at all.
Yeah, totally. And then the other side of it is we either don't want Kanye as a type of person, but definitely they don't want homeless people in this real rich area of Calabasas.
So you got the idea that you might be able to squat in such a place and write your book in there.
Yes.
What did you think being in that place might do for you?
I don't really... It just felt right. It felt emotionally true. It just felt like you're meant to write a book at a writer's retreat, and this, it just seemed perfect. And it seemed like the table was being set by the universe. Like, why did we meet the squatter in the other house? And
Why was the fence down?
Yeah, why did just 2 weeks earlier the security people leave? And it's basically the universe's fault, not me. I'm innocent, I tell
you. You're joking, surely. But you've been in Los Angeles for how long and you're starting to think like that? Are you starting to slip into that world a bit, do you think?
I think in retrospect, yes. Like, I think there's things in the way...
Of magical thinking. The world of... You're in La Land. You're in the world of magical thinking.
Yeah,
now,
totally. But that's a very interesting point you make. I hadn't quite thought of that before. But I think that's the benefit of if you write something and you're just going, oh, I'm going to put this in because it feels emotionally true. Right. I don't even know quite why, but it just feels right. And then someone like you goes, oh, my, that's a bit of magical thinking. Like, people in L.A., go there and they do it. I have not thought about that before. But
and it wouldn't have happened if you'd stayed in Melbourne.
Yeah, yes,
you'd be, if you're in Melbourne, you'd be going down to your regular laundromat and you'd run into your auntie on the street, and that's not the world of magical thinking.
Yes.
All right. So what did you provision yourself with, given that this is an abandoned house? What did you go in with when you went to stay there?
I brought like a duffel bag filled with food, some fruit, but mainly a non-perishable. We're out of range there, at least for our Australian phones.
At a mobile phone range?
Yeah. So we got walkie-talkies, me and Antoinette. And so the plan was when I go in there, we'll set up a time and we can talk once a day or whatever on the walkie-talkies.
But they don't have great range. So would she have to be right outside the property?
Yes. Like when I first got in there, we did a whole little test because they overpromised on the box. It's, you know, like 500 mile range or whatever. But then it just wasn't. Yeah, she
more like 500 metres or something.
Yeah, pretty much had to be outside the gate for it to work.
Right. So she's your link to the outside world at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But then even that became a bit unreliable, the walkie-talkies. But she would throw things like Egg McMuffin over the gate in the morning, thinking of me making sure I had some fresh food as well as my non-perishable. But I actually didn't need to bring my own food because Kanye had like an industrial kitchen in there. It had pasta and there was a pantry filled with every spice in the world, and as well as all the regular spices we've heard of, unpronounceable ones. There was on the bottom shelf, there was a jar of saffron on its own.
Yeah.
Like red thread saffron.
And what did you take that to mean, seeing there was a jar of jar of saffron?
I was like, what are the freaking... That seemed like the freaking universe was talking to me. Like, why is there a jar of saffron on its own on the bottom shelf?
So you're John Saffron. Is your name etymologically related to the herb saffron? Were your ancestors like saffron sellers in a marketplace in Morocco?
Yeah, there's two theories. Yeah, one is that's the theory. The other one was that they had red beards and that was unusual for Jews in Europe. So they'll call it the nickname saffron.
Redbeard then.
Yeah. So it's either one or the other. So I had this really expensive meal of Kanye's pasta and then also putting the saffron in there as well because the saffron's pretty expensive.
Okay. So in the land of magical thinking, there's a jar of saffron, which means God wants you to be there in that house. So was there electricity in that place?
There was electricity.
What about running water?
No running water.
So what does that mean in terms of going to the toilet?
Thank God I brought a little shovel with me, which I wouldn't have thought of. Antoinette thought of all those things because I don't know what would have happened because I didn't have the shovel. But, yeah, so you couldn't use the toilet because there was no water. And as with the school, there were, like, unopened utility bills.
Is it like something like from, I don't know, Sydney Water Attention, Kanye West?
Yeah, yeah, some of them Kanye West, some of them Donda Academy. So the whole thing was mad. And when I got in there and it's the first night, it was so overwhelming for me because I couldn't, it was just too much. I mean, Kanye West mansion, it's pouring rain and I don't really know what I'm doing. And it was pretty overwhelming I'm pretty desensitized to madness, but this is a very mad situation. Luckily I had blocked out the consequences. This sounds me being naive. I did not think about, hey, if a neighbour dobs on me and the cops come, I did not think, oh, hang on, do I get locked in jail? I just did not.
Or much, much worse than that. You're an intruder on private property.
Yes.
The guards had been protecting the place. They were no longer doing so, but they could return and just shoot you dead.
Yeah, yeah.
The land of guns. Did you have a gun, for example?
No, I didn't have a gun.
Because this is America, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose what I'm wanting to ask you is, it sounds like you're sort of being pulled into the undertow of the madness of this place.
Yes.
Quite willingly, though.
Yes. Because it seemed...
Yes.
It made me feel alive or whatever. And I had to write the book somewhere. And even though I couldn't figure out, I couldn't connect the dots as to why this is...
And you could never afford that on an Airbnb. John, you're wearing a Jewish yarmulke, a kippah, one of those Jewish caps, but it looks unusual. Can you tell me what it's fashioned from?
Well, Antoinette, she was a big Kanye fan for like a dozen years or something. And over the years, she'd bought some Yeezy sneakers and Yeezy tops.
That's his fashion brand, Yeezy.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I first met her, it matched up with Kanye saying all this stuff against the Jews or whatever. And she said, oh, I feel uncomfortable. I don't want to wear this anymore. And maybe I should get rid of it or whatever. And, right. I was just, listen, let's not go crazy here. Let's try to do something here. And so we came up with the idea of upcycling his Yeezy wear into Jewish skullcaps and calling them yarmulkes. So we went to a friend of hers who was a costume tailor. And this is the hero yarmulke, and it's made out of Yeezy sneaker.
You turned a Kanye West Yeezy sneaker into a yarmulke?
Yeah, and like for people who know who are like into Yeezy and into Kanye, when they see this, they cannot believe it. Like, because it's a real iconic sneaker of his. People were fainting when they saw it if they were into Kanye.
So you got into this mansion, this abandoned mansion of his.
Yeah.
And you spent your first night. What did you see in the house, this mansion, when you woke up?
When I first went in there, I could make out that the place was blue, and I slept in the biggest room. I just got my sleeping bag out and lay on the floor. But there was water dripping in. He had these skylights, but they weren't covered with perspex. They were covered with, like, plastics. And, like, water's dripping in, but I can't really see anything. And then I wake up the next morning, and I see that there's mushrooms and toadstools have grown through the skirting boards.
Right, so nature's just beginning to reclaim this house.
Yeah, and there's, like, weeds climbing into the house. So it is like the woods are beginning to eat up the house. And the other thing that I obviously hadn't seen the night before that kind of shook me a bit, Kanye had penned all these Bible passages with chalk onto the walls that kind of added this aura of, like, slight, I don't know, dangerous mysticism to the whole journey.
So what was the Bible passage that he'd written in chalk on the walls of this blue mansion?
The Lord set Ezekiel down in the valley of bones. The Lord said, O dry bones, I will lay sinew and stretch skin over you. And the bones came clattering together, and they stood up on their feet, a very, very great army.
What do you make of that when you saw that, John?
Well, I was really happy with the guy who brought his one-eyed friend kind of starting to quote Jesus. I love it. I'm like the one person who... Like, if Mormons come ringing on the doorbell, like, it's, oh, great, this is a good day. So I felt a bit thrown, and then I was also a bit confused because, like, Kanye is, like, against the Jews, but the Old Testament, that's the Jewish book. And so he had the problem and that Christians who don't like Jews have where they have to square the circle of their religion. The founding of that is, you know, Judaism, and Jesus was a Jew and stuff like that.
And the Torah is inside the Bible.
Yeah. So that was curious to me, like, why not be a kind of an easier anti-Jewish person, Kanye, rather than having Jewish Bible quotes on the wall? Like, why not have Mein Kampf quotes on the wall instead of quotes from the Torah?
I think for me the strangest part of your story here was the day you went next door to the other house that was on this property, this compound, I suppose you'd call it, of Kanye West. This two-story house where you thought it was time you better see if anyone was in there and what might be inside. Tell me about what happened as you walked up to the front door of this two-story house that was adjacent to the mansion.
Yeah, so because the property's so big and because the house was separate, I kind of just felt, oh, no, there's no one here in this mansion, but I didn't really know. Like, there were so many rooms and like, lying there when, like, the water's dripping, everything sounded like feet coming up when I was lying there with a sleeping bag, or a car pulling up. I don't know why everything sounded like a car pulling up or feet walking up.
Because you're on someone's property. That's yeah, why, John. And if you get found there, you'll at the very best be arrested.
Yes.
And at the worst, you'd be shot.
Yeah, I know. So then the next morning, I kind of looked around the Blue Mansion. I was like, okay, but what about the house? Because it's like a separate structure on the property.
So you thought someone could be in that house?
And yes.
And just like a really bad horror movie, they're just sort of stalking you or keeping watching you from a distance?
Like, yeah, because people were saying Kanye, they hadn't seen him in a while. And it just seemed to make sense. Like, one option was, why not go to your property and stay in the house there or whatever? So,
did you think Kanye might himself might be living in that place and just peering on you at night?
When you're actually in the midst of it, I don't know. I felt like maybe, but I didn't. The thing I can compare it to is like, imagine you're speeding a bit in your car. You're never thinking, oh, this is going to be the time where I end up a quadriplegic and that's the rest of my life. Like, you just think it's going to be fine. So there was a bit like, I'm totally scared. I'm totally being really careful because out the front of the mansion, there were like sight lines where neighbours across the way could see me.
And they might call the cops, right?
Yeah, they might call the cops.
Right.
So it was like, I guess Kanye could be there. Like, who knows? Anyway, so I went to the house next door and the door's unlocked.
And what do you see when you crack the door open?
Well, it's what looked like a guy sitting against a wall, on the floor against a wall. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Why is that person still and what the hell's going on? And so I back out. But it's like the point of no return. And also I'm sort of trapped in there and I felt like I have to stay here because this is what this is about. But then when I pushed in again, there was all these human-sized rag dolls and they're like piled up everywhere.
Human-sized rag dolls?
Yes. Cream canvas rag dolls, and there was like a pile of them in the center of the room.
And they were human sized?
Yeah. Except they were more like half monkeys. They had like long arms. And there was one sitting against the wall who I just for a short moment had thought, oh, that's a real person or whatever.
And did they have faces on them?
No, they didn't.
And how many of these human sized monkey like rag dolls were there in this house?
Oh, I reckon there was like about a dozen, I don't know, 9 to 12 in this kind of pyramid in the centre and then ones around the walls or whatever.
Like, oh, John, that's so sinister. You're in a horror movie now, aren't you? Did it feel like it? It feels like that to me. That's really chilling.
Yeah, it was, but I mean, you easily adapt. Like, there's nothing much I could do. And once I registered it was art, I was going, okay, I got it. Rich people have art. And so he's got this room where there's these half monkey rag dolls.
Right, you're in this two-story house owned by Kanye West.
Yeah.
And it's full of a dozen faceless monkey human-sized rag dolls that are just flopping around. They're just sort of flopping there.
Yeah.
What did that bring to mind to you, the sight of all those rag dolls?
Well, I was kind of going and it seemed a bit like this is a bit heavy or whatever, but you can't help what goes into your subconscious.
And like, you are in the realm of magical thinking now.
Yeah. So I was like going, this looks like the pile in the centre. I was going, this looks like after a war where they find a pit of people, victims of the war or whatever. But then I was like going, John, you're being self-indulgent. Even if it looks like a pit of bodies in a war, why are you making them Jewish bodies? Why? What about Cambodians or whatever? But then after I'd come out of the mansion and went back to Australia, I fell into this conversation with this gallery owner in Melbourne, and she told me that Kanye's people, about a year earlier, had contacted this Melbourne gallery because one of the artists in the gallery had done these installation pieces of this kind of forest. Because the artist is Jewish and she'd gone, I think it was to Poland, and it was based on the forest she'd seen around the concentration camps. And so then it became like, why did Kanye, what was he Googling that he ends up, like, was he Googling installation art or was he Googling Holocaust? Like, anyway, the long and the short of it is the artist ended up getting flown by Kanye and Kim to another of their mansions in Los Angeles, and she did up their house for their celebrity Christmas party. And so he'd kind of taken this artwork that originally had been, you know, about the forests around concentration camps and just thought, oh, no, this looks like cool trees that you'd have in a, I don't know, like for a Christmas party. He seems to have this weird interest in Jewish stuff.
You know, in the mid-1970s, David Bowie went to a strange place in his own mind. And later he was sincerely remorseful about this.
Mm.
He was taking far too much cocaine, far too many other drugs. He was being hailed quite rightly as a genius, which he definitely was. Able to create whole worlds suddenly, create new personas for himself like Ziggy Stardust and the Thin White Duke and whatever, and then dismantle them. And he's experimenting with identity. He's doing quite extraordinary things in popular culture. He's got insane amounts of money and he's living in Los Angeles. The next thing you know, he's wearing a swastika on his arm and he's saying interesting things that could easily be interpreted to mean he was playing around with anti-Semitic thought. I think when people are given that kind of power, cultural power, and that much money and that many drugs, and they're living in a place like Los Angeles, their mind will wander into all kinds of dark places, won't it?
Yeah, no, I looked into the whole David Bowie thing because when I saw what Kanye, that occurred to me too, with it is like there's just artists and they play with fire, with Nazi imagery. Is Kanye playing with fire like Bowie did? And you're right, as soon as you start going, I'm going to push buttons, you end up for some reason at the Nazis. I think there's these universal touch points of transgression, and one of them's Nazism, the other's slavery, like black slavery. And so it does seem like if you're going to start playing with fire as an artist, and also no one says no to you, it seems like you just end up at Nazism. This is how I'm going to play with fire.
If you're an artist who's into transgression,
yep,
that door is the biggest. And it's got the brightest neon lights around the swastika above it. That's the door that they're going to
And also
through.
There is just a je ne sais quoi about the design and the art direction of Nazism. And it just makes it very confusing. To what point do you say, even if you're going to be generous, like I'd be generous and I'd go, well, you know, if some artist wants to play with fire, cool, fine, or whatever. But then at what point, if it becomes political, like I'm obviously against Nazis politically, but then when I was younger, I got into the Sex Pistols and Sid Vicious had a swastika.
And he had a song called Belson Was Aghast.
Yeah. And it was quite challenging because, you know, my grandparents had escaped the Nazis. All the families were killed. And I really had to think about what was going on there with the Sex Pistols. And
yeah, well, here's another thought.
Yeah.
It's kind of like where you end up when you run out of ideas. Isn't it where you end up, where you run out of ideas about how to be interestingly transgressive?
Ah, yes. Okay.
You put on the Nazi armband, or on the other hand, you really mean it.
Yeah, totally. There's those two things. And then also, it is 2023-4 as opposed to 1970s with David Bowie and the Sex Pistols. And the backdrop to the world and the different things in play are just, it's so confusing to get your head around. You know, like unlike Sid Vicious or David Bowie, Kanye West is a black American. And that adds this other weird thing. And then on top of that, his fan base, for some of them, they're going to be hearing about these conspiracies about the Jews for the first time. Like when Sid Vicious and David Bowie did it, people would have had their heads around the Nazis a bit more. The Holocaust had happened a bit closer to when they were doing it. But now it's like 15-year-old kids hearing from Kanye West for the first time these esoteric conspiracies spreading the protocols of the Elders of Zion to 15-year-old hip-hop fans.
Can I just say the obvious thing as well, John?
Yes.
Does Kanye West know what Adolf Hitler thought of black people? Or does that even matter?
Kanye himself has disavowed things about black identity as he sees it, not as I see it. Like he disavowed or distanced himself from Black Lives Matter. He said black people in America at least have a slave mentality. Like he was prodding at things. It's just when it gets to like the far right, the strange bedfellows are incredible. And I think there's a lot of self-interest. So if you're a white nationalist and you know Kanye West, this famous guy who's black, is on your side, you're like, oh my God. And also they love trolling. Like that's a real aspect of the far right, at least in America. So they'd love that.
You explore the interesting and fraught relationship in the United States between Jewish Americans and black Americans.
Yeah.
Like it's really clear at the outset of the civil rights movement, the strongest non-black supporters of the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s and 70s in the United States was really Jewish. Like a whole lot of Jewish Americans came out in support of that. On the other hand, Jewish Americans were accused of running the music industry and exploiting black artists. Then you found that Kanye West had been studying the Torah under a rabbi.
Yeah.
Around about the same time he'd been making anti-Semitic statements. Is there any point trying to find a through line here with that, John?
I don't know. I think he was like tapping into the energy of the universe or something. So he finds things around religion and scripture kind of really energizing and almost dangerous, a bit like I do. But he can take it to the next level and kind of work out, well, I'm going to try to learn the Torah with a rabbi. He was also trying to learn the Christian Bible with this homeless guy who lived in a car at the church where he went to. So he wasn't only chasing this Jewish stuff, he was chasing this Christian stuff, but he'd kind of pursue these things for just a short term and then just get bored and move on. Like, I've done that just on a very lower level, like in high school where I wanted to learn the trumpet and my parents got me a trumpet. And then I just turned up for a few lessons and then like a brat. You know, like just...
So the Torah for him and the schoolhouse and the mansion...
Yeah, it's just like that.
That's his trumpet.
Yeah, it's his trumpet. It's like those things that we all have where we get excited about something for a short term and then we move on. But in his case, he's just got all the money and the team to make it way more hectic.
Interestingly, Kanye said, in defence of his statements, he said, well, anyway, black people are the real Jews.
Yeah.
What's the thinking behind that, as you understand it?
So that's a super American thing. I think one of the missing pieces of the puzzle when you look at Kanye is you go, well, he's black or he's Christian or whatever, but he's also American. And Americans just, I mean, this in a good way, I love Americans, right? So I'm not having a go at Americans. And I understand Australians and everyone else can be self-indulgent too or whatever. But Americans just think it's all about them. From Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormons, to Charles Manson, that they're all like, oh, Jesus.
He's really American.
Yeah. He's really American. Yeah. Like, yeah, Charles Manson was like, Jesus is going to come back. And by a wild coincidence, it was like in the part of LA where Charles Manson lived.
And all the language of the founding of the United States is about building a new Jerusalem too.
Yeah. And like same with Joseph Smith and the Mormons. Jesus came to America. So kind of similar to that. That's this other layer of this weird thing with Kanye and what's his problem with Jews. Sometimes Kanye goes, I'm the real Jew, and he's taking that from the black Hebrew Israelites.
The black Hebrew Israelites?
Yes. They've decided that the Jews that are mentioned in the Torah are actually them. Jews.
When you say them, you mean Africans or black Americans?
Yeah, black Americans. They are the lost tribe. They are the people who are referred to in the Bible.
Does that mean by the same token that you're a fake Jew?
Yes, totally. So they think people like me and my family and my ancestors, we stole the mantle of the chosen few off them and we've taken advantage of it and got all these benefits from it and it really belongs to them and they want it back. Did that even make... Sometimes I talk to them, it barely makes sense when it's coming out of my lips, but it's not my fault. In this case, it's not because I'm explaining it badly. It's just because it's like, it's that. It's this whole mess. So I did follow the thread of black Hebrew Israelites in this my adventure, and, yeah, it was wild.
At some point while you were spending your week-long writer's residency in Kanye West's abandoned mansion,
yep.
You decided it would be a good idea to get into the attic of one of these houses.
Yes.
Why did you want to do that?
Because it was a confusing space, the mansion. It's like really big mansion, but it's sort of like nothing, 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 and then something. Like there was this room that was attached to the industrial kitchen with a sliding door that I didn't notice till the third day. And I opened this sliding door and in there, there's like gifts that have been sent to him. So there was these children's books with Russian script and like toy trains and they've been sent from Russia to get like these Kanye West fans going, oh, we know it, you're opening a school and we wanted to send you these things for the school. It's like the whole place was mad like that. And then I realised from the outside, I'd seen this attic window, but I hadn't gone up there.
So what happened when you clambered up into this attic?
Well, so first of all, there's this stench and there's animal droppings and hardened animal droppings. And then also there was a hole in the attic where the roof had fallen in and there was this big bird, what looked like half like a turkey, half like a vulture. So sort of pretty horrifying.
And what was it doing?
It was like chipping away at this mouse.
And what did you think when you saw this bird of prey eating a mouse in the rooftop attic of this house?
I admit, I was pretty frightened.
Right.
But it didn't seem to worry about me in the attic. It just seemed to be worried about its
meal. Right.
Its meal. So then I went to the window because I wanted to look out from the perspective of being in the attic, looking out to the street. And then I hear this screech. It's like this scraping. It's like a... And it's like a gate scraping and...
And it's loud?
Yeah.
And when you turned around, what was the bird doing?
Like the wings were stretched out and like it clearly decided... Because I thought it didn't have a problem with me because it was just concentrating on its mouth.
What problem? What possible problem could the vulture, the flesh-eating vulture, have with me, an interloper in its domain?
Yes.
And when it stretched its wings out, how big was this bird?
I think it's like me lying down. The wingspan was that. Because it didn't look like... Because when it was... Its wings were tucked in, it didn't look that big.
So you turned around and saw this gigantic... vulture with its wings outstretched, the size of a human almost, and it's making these terrifying, screeching, menacing noises to you. And how close is it to you when it's doing this?
Quite close, but it wasn't like walking towards me, but it was...
So what did you do?
Well, I climbed through the hole in the roof because it was like blocking me getting back down the ladder.
All right, so you climbed through the hole in the roof, but now you're on top of a roof.
Yes.
How do you get down from that?
I started imagining that I'd seen a ladder, like a fixed ladder on the other side of the roof. So I was like, okay, so I headed towards that.
Did the flesh-eating vulture follow you onto the roof?
No.
Oh, isn't that nice?
So that was good. But I eventually got down from the roof of the thing. But I felt like it was good. It was like I was really making the most of the mansion, if you know what I mean. You don't want to squander the opportunity. I'm only going to be here once. I hadn't really thought about climbing on the roof until the situation presented itself. But in retrospect, it's like, no, that's good.
When I first met you, it was 25 years ago or something, we were doing Race Around the World. One of the very best videos you made was of you breaking into Disneyland. You're climbing over a fence into Disneyland. It was very, very funny, very, very entertaining. And there is a long history of you making documentaries or writing books where you don't so much break, but you do enter quite a few places where you've not been invited and you've climbed over fences and opened doors that weren't really yours to be opened. Is this a compulsion?
I don't know what this is. This is where I want someone to read this book and explain to me why. Because I clearly, like, I don't have to do it. But also the other thing you've got to understand is it's usually not, like, that premeditated, but it's just something I do. And then it's like the next thing I've done it. And
you live with the consequences.
Yeah. So I reckon like some psychologist could explain why I do this, because clearly I've got other options besides breaching fences and stuff. I am quite fascinated by like what's going on behind closed doors. Like when I was younger, if there was like a Freemason hall or something, well, I'd be like, what's going on behind there, man?
What's going in that room? Yeah. Right. I mean, a house is a really famous metaphor for the self.
The
self or for the mind even.
Oh, yes.
So you, John Safran, I'm just putting this to you, sir. Yes. Is this you kind of like clambering your way into the id of Kanye West by climbing into his house and squatting in there for a while to see the kind of rag dolls of his id floating around, to see what junk is floating around? In the mind of this powerful and very interesting man, a man who's genuinely hailed as a creatively brilliant man, to see how it is that he entertains such poisonous, hateful thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have found some little room in there where he's got the golden Nazi eagle and the flags, but that's not what I discovered. But I did discover a lot of other stuff that was...
Yeah, like a dozen strange ragdolls.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean...
Which is very weird.
I think
sinister as well. Myself.
I think I was climbing in his head, but I also think I was climbing in my head.
You know, with stories like this, and we're back in the world of Hollywood magical thinking, you think you're going to find the sled with Rosebud written on the side. But you didn't find that. But what you did find was a credit card with Kanye West's name on it in an envelope.
Yeah. Yes.
So you took it out of the envelope.
Yeah.
And you have a credit card with Kanye West's name on it.
But listen,
did you use that credit card?
I need my lawyer here to answer this question. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, It depends. Like Bill Clinton says, like, what is
okay.
Yes.
So your official position is you can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, well, if you were to have used Kanye West's credit card, in theory, would you have used it to buy something expensive or a cup of coffee, just perhaps?
No, I'd never. There's lines I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't purchase something expensive, Your Honour.
John, this excursion into the strange world of Kanye West, or Yee, has been completely fascinating. Thank you very much for coming and telling this story.
No, thank you very much. Race Around the World host, Richard Feitler. You could have stopped me. That's the thing. You could have stopped me. When I broke into Disneyland on Race Around the World, you could have said, stop it, stop it, stop it, and no one stopped me. So then the next thing, I'm hassling Ray Martin, and then the next thing, I'm breaking into, like, a nightclub. It's like Australia could have stopped me, but they didn't, and now it's ended up
Kanye's
mansion.
I'm an accessory after the fact before the fact as well. John, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I spoke with John Safran in 2024 about his book, Squat. John's currently appearing with Zan Rowe in Race Around the World on ABC TV. This episode of Conversations was made on the lands of the Gadigal people. The executive producer was Nicola Harrison. I'm Richard Feidler. Thanks for listening.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.